everybody. Today, we are at the City Gospel Movement podcast, where we help to celebrate and accelerate City Gospel work all around the world. And today, we are with Josh White, who is the teaching and vision pastor at a super hipster church in Portland, Oregon, Door of Hope. Welcome, Josh.
It's great to be here.
Josh, it's super fun to have you. And you were here in the offices for an evangelism team meeting for Portland, Oregon. And before we get to talking about the evangelism team, I would love to know just Josh White in a nutshell.
Oh, man. Well, about myself, I came to faith actually kind of later in life at about 28 years old, a couple years before my wife, Darcy, did. I was a struggling musician in Seattle, Washington during the 90s.
The grunge band era?
We were post-grunge. And so I moved there in 93. And so we were more in the, I was always obsessed with British rock. I like glam rock bands. Like in my 20s, I was like trying to replicate Ziggy Stardust. So
I think that's what makes you so cool.
I was full makeup and I probably wore eyeliner better than my wife when I met her. So I taught her how to wear it.
That is awesome.
So yeah, it's funny to go from Ziggy Stardust to a preaching pastor of a Orthodox church in Portland.
I love it.
Yeah, I had a conversion in my late 20s, kind of an existential crisis that led me to a Bible that my mom bought me when I was 21. I started reading through the Gospels, became absolutely enamored with Jesus, gave my life to him, found a little Calvary chapel that I attended for a couple of years before my wife came to faith. And through that experience there, I began to write music for the church and got involved in worship. And that one thing led to another. About 6 months after Darcy came to faith, after our son Henry was born, I got a call from a church in Spokane, a Calvary chapel, that had heard about my songwriting and they were looking for a worship pastor. And so I found myself a pastor 2 years after coming to faith and Darcy 6 months after. So it was a little fresh and inexperienced, but we both had been radically touched by Jesus and we're both very passionate about the gospel and its ability to change people. And so, for me, my background is really more music. Preaching was kind of birthed out of me touring with the band that I started out of that church in Spokane called Telecast. And I had signed to a label in Seattle, Tooth & Nail Records, which I was on their more worship side of things called BEC. And I worked for 1 year for that church. And then
the church in Spokane.
Yeah, for Calvary Chapel, Spokane. And then the first Telecast album ended up taking off kind of unexpected. I thought I was done with my music career. I was 30 years old. I'm like, I thought I had, you know, lived those dreams. I was just going to write music for the church. And next thing I knew, we were touring full time. And I did about 200 plus shows between 2003 and 2004 before getting off the road and taking a job at a church in California for 2 years before coming back to Portland. So.
And when you came back to Portland, was it right away that you started Door of Hope, or what started that process for you?
No, like when I was touring with Telecast, what I found is that the preaching component for me came out of, I just had this burden for the lost, and I had a burden for the church specifically, and we toured every kind of church you could think of. You know, we were playing charismatic churches and reformed churches and everything in between, and I'd go to a church and I'd see a book on the pulpit that, you know, that was some new church growth idea and not the Bible. And I would play youth groups and I'd see kids that were completely disinterested and apathetic and had grown up in the church. And me being so radically saved later in life, I think just kind of gave me a fire and kind of viewed myself as sort of some kind of Keith Green or something. And so I began to share in between songs. And pretty soon that was like a 45-minute concert would be like 20 minutes of me calling people to trust Jesus. And people started saying, you should preach. And so I ended up at a church where I was leading worship and was given a Sunday night service that I was able to make my own down in Riverside County. It was called Clarity. And so that's where I kind of cut my teeth on teaching and sort of getting even a vision of how I would pastor a church. So when I came to Portland at the invite of John Mark Comer, who's the pastor of Bridgetown and what used to be Solid Rock, I worked with him for 2 years, really involved in what was called The Way at the time, working under him and his father,
Phil Comer. Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
And that's actually how I met the Plows. And after 2 years there, I kind of stepped out in faith. And both Darcy, we met in the Inner East Side. I was signed to a record label in Portland in the mid-90s, and that's how I met my wife. And she lived off of Hawthorne, and we fit the bohemian mold.
Which is, if you don't live here in Portland, it's like the ultra cool kind of scene, and everybody wants to be on the East Side. Where we're currently sitting is the West Side suburban part of Portland, and Josh is in the thick of it.
And back, even when Dorfolk first started, there was still, I mean, Portland's changing very fast, and like Seattle, it's just such quick growth, mm-hmm. and that has an impact on the artistic community that we resonated with so fully when we started the church, which did it just brought in so many young millennials, and because I have such a heart for evangelism, there was just a lot of new conversions, especially when the church first started, because people were just so excited. They just started bringing their friends. And my prayer when I started Door of Hope was, Lord, just bring me all the really lame Christians that aren't walking with you, because they're the ones that have all the non-Christian friends. And he was really faithful.
It's true, isn't it?
He brought
it?
A bunch of really lame but amazing people that got on fire for Jesus and started to bring all their non-believing friends. So that was kind of the birth of Door of Hope. Well, it'll be 9 years ago next week.
Yeah, I was just going to say, 9 years later, you mm-hmm. have a thriving church in an area that desperately needs it in Portland, mm-hmm. and God is for sure showing favor to the work that is going on there. So thank you for answering that call for the city as someone who lives in the city.
Yeah.
You know, like we said, you were here for an evangelism team meeting mm-hmm. that Kevin Palau has really had a burden for the city for some time now, because, you know, oftentimes when we do city gospel movement work, the issues can kind of take over, whether it's refugee care or homelessness or foster care, the things that we care deeply about and feel very called to. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we can lose the intentional message of just sharing Jesus, sharing and being evangelist in the process. And so Kevin really had a burden to try and bring some leaders in the city together that would really just get around a table and talk about how can we create evangelism in our city and work together. I would love to know, just from your perspective, when Kevin texted you and just said, hey, Josh, I'd like to throw this idea around with you, what was kind of your first thought, your first initial reaction to that?
Well, I've had such a close relationship with Kevin as just a friend, and traveled to New York with them when they were planning those trips. So we've mm-hmm. always had lots of and just my time with Luis, like, I've just had such a passion for how do we keep evangelism an important component to the church, because we're not the church if we're not preaching the gospel. I mean, mm-hmm. Paul said, I've determined to preach Christ crucified. Like, that's it. We preach Christ crucified. I think those are the four words that wield absolute authority in the church. And to ignore that is really to fall into the trappings of losing our identity, or to drain Christianity of its blood. And so for me, when I started Door of Hope, there was a lot of people that came to me and had so many opinions about what it is that I should do to capture the attention of people in the city. And, you know, you should start community gardens, you should serve the schools, you should do these. And believe me, I think that social justice is a natural outflow of gospel-centeredness. But often social justice is put in the place of the gospel because we're ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. And I just made a very focused effort that we would establish ourselves first and foremost as a church that preaches Jesus. And because of that, I've had a close relationship with Kevin and Luis from the very beginning. And so when he asked me to be a part of this, it was like a natural, like, of course, like, it's still a very important component of who we are as a church in the city. And our view is that transformation in the city happens when you actually have a reconciled people living there. So that's always been the kind of embedded in Portland. Like, you naturally are going to serve the city if you live in it.
Right.
You know, we don't want to be a bunch of commuters in a city that we don't really care about. And so my heart is, you know, my kids go to schools where they don't have any Christian friends. I mean, and they've grown up their lives in Portland now. Mm-hmm. So
mine too.
Yeah. So my son's at Cleveland. He's a sophomore. And, you know, I mean, he just had a friend come to church with him for the first time. So all the people that have, the Door of Hope's growth has been primarily around, like, young 20 some things. But like my demographic, Gen Xers in the city, I mean, it's like we abandon the church fully, and that's very difficult contingency to meet. And because of that, now there's all these kids growing up truly post-Christian with no reference point for the gospel at all. So to be in conversation with other pastors here around how do we make evangelism a centerpiece of the church in Portland is really important to me.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that, Josh. Like, tell me who's at the table with you, the leaders that have gathered from the Portland area. Mm-hmm. I know you guys are in the infancy stages of getting this team off the ground, but who's at the table and what are the things that you guys are kind of discussing and dreaming about together?
Yeah, well, it's a group of both senior pastors from around the Portland metro area, as well as some parachurch ministry leaders like from Crew, from Young Life. And so those different components kind of make up a broad base of who's at the table. And we're all just really sharing how evangelism is a central piece to the ministries that God has uniquely called us to, that we might learn from each other. I think one of the big things for me personally, being one of the main voices at the table from the inner city, is, you know, I'm meeting with new church planters. Portland is like, it's like the cool
hot spot.
It's the cool city to, for some reason, from people for this from the South. Like, the Portland's where they come to plant churches. But it's
well, we're one of the most unchurched places. So
yeah,
we need.
But it's the challenge of it, though, is I was just sharing today. I meet with probably 20 church planters a year, and most of them I'll never hear from again. And they go home, and part of it is that churches happen when, especially if you're starting from scratch, like you've got to actually preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just embed yourself in the city. Like nobody's going to come to church because you mowed their lawn. And so there's got to be a point of contact where we actually believe so fervently that what we believe that we're willing to say something about it. And so the proclamation piece is so needed right now, especially among young pastors. And I think that when you have church leadership that functions in fear of looking foolish, that we have a major problem. And so I think the joy of being a part of this group is just, okay, what are the things that are working in your community? How are you raising up leaders? How are you identifying leaders? How often do you share the gospel or give people, what do you think about altar calls? What does that look like? You know, what tools are you using? And it's very different. It's very broad. And some people are at the table use, you know, social media as a means of preaching the gospel. Our church is filled with so many little artistic snobs that would never fly. But that kind of traditional approach of just talking about Jesus and encouraging people to talk about him and invite people to come and be a part of the community and see what the gospel's about.
Thank you so much, Josh, from Door of Hope. This has been the City Gospel Movement podcast. This will be our part one of a two-part series with Josh White on the evangelism team here in Portland, Oregon.